Okay. Calling criminal investigations at 834. Well, you can't see it. 8950. Yes, is Sergeant Shiver in?
One moment. Well, I can't transfer you to his line. I can give you his number that will bring direct to his office.
That'll work.
That number is 834 8923.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Extension 48923 is not available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
Sergeant Shiver, this is Gordon Watts. With reference to 11-21204, all those Verizon records, some of them which Officer Jason Leggett, number 300, made reference to, none of those found its way into the records. And so I know you're busy and all that, and you said you wanted some time, and that's a fair request on your part. But I think it was Tuesday that I talked to you, and so it's already Friday the 30th. So not only that matter, but there was a financial crimes issue that I wanted to see if you could help me look into. My number is 863, well, it's local, 688-9880. You have my phone numbers. Okay, I guess you're not there. I'll try the office number again.
Investigative Services?
I called just a moment ago. Sergeant Shiver is harder to locate than a Bigfoot. I was trying to, he was looking into a problem with some records finding their way into records. There was a case that had a whole bunch of work done on it, and all the work that the Verizon people sent over to y'all, that those records never found their way in. And he said he needed some time, but there was another issue that related to financial crimes. Does he happen to work in financial crimes?
He is the sergeant over that section, yes.
Oh, okay, in that case, then, okay, so he knows about financial crimes.
Uh-huh.
So that was a separate issue that I needed some help on. Listen, does he work today? Or, I mean, if I come in, I don't want to come all the way up there and then find out. I mean,
well, he was here this morning. I have not seen him this afternoon, but, you know, he's in and out. They have meetings and stuff all the time because of supervisors. But the best thing to do is to tell him that you want to make an appointment to come up here and speak with him.
Right.
Put it on his voicemail, and he can call you and let you know what would be a good time for him.
Well, now, the two issues that I need help on, one of them, already had an officer come out, and it was a clear issue in which there was a crime committed, and this officer doesn't even, well, this was a long time ago, by the way, and it's the reason I'm bringing it back to y'all's attention now is because y'all were corrupt back then, and I just flat gave up on y'all doing anything. I didn't want to get falsely arrested again or anything like that, so I just dropped the issue. But now that y'all have a, what appears to be a respectable department, this one officer didn't even make a report. My father lost, in what today's dollars would be about $5,000 or $6,000 or something, and he did not even make a report. People say, "Well, what's the report number?" Well, there was none. There was a call to service number, but there was not a report number. So the issue is a black and white issue. There was forgery. There was a paper trail, And whether the bad guys caught or not, y'all should have investigated the thing. Y'all should have looked into it. You know, contacted...
You know what officer it was?
Yes, it was Officer Todd Edwards. He's a bad officer. I hope he doesn't still work for y'all, but if he does, it's on you. It's not on me. Okay? But be that as it may, I'm not vindictive, but the justice has to be served. That's a lot of money. A lot of money.
Okay. Now that right there is going to be a patrol sergeant issue, because if they didn't do an event report and you needed one done, they're the ones that need to take care of that and see that it's done.
Well, okay. That's all good. But the thing that is that I'll agree with you about that. But there's only one of me, and there's a lot of problems. Probably, while that's being looked into, this guy should get his badge turned in or something. But I'm not vindictive. That should be happening. But the first thing is first. I want this to be looked into as there was no actual report done on it. He came out and talked with my father for hours upon hours. I saw the call to service, and I was like, what did they talk about during all that time? And my father had the records from the bank and whatnot, where the guy, they wrote a whole bunch of forged checks. So the bottom line is, I just want to talk to someone up there that actually cares enough about us, like if it were them. What if someone wrote several thousand dollars of bad checks on your bank account? You would at least expect there to be a report. I mean, whether they did something or not, you'd at least expect them to write a report and try it. Talk to the bank, something. That cop just told them, no, we're not going to do anything. We're just not going to do anything.
Well, let me see if I have a supervisor downstairs, maybe a lieutenant if you can't reach the sergeant, okay?
Okay.
All right, hold on.
Okay. Yes, sir. I need y'all's help on two issues. One of them is a small matter. Sergeant Shriver is looking into why a harassing phone call did not have the records in it where the Verizon phone company kept sending y'all stuff, and I did a Chapter 119 public records request. He said he needed a few more days, this was back on Tuesday. This is a 2011 case in which they kept reopening it and reshutting it and reopening it. There's a much more important issue, and that's why they transferred me to you. Let me see if I can look at it. And call ID number 0300-7111-72. There was no report written, even though Officer Todd Edwards...
Hold on, give me that number again.
Okay, it's call for service report, call ID 0300-7111-72. This was a call to service on 8/26/2003. Now here's the deal. This is a real old case, and I know your gut feelings and say, it's too old, we can't do anything. But there's case law from the Florida Supreme Court, no less, that says when there's the delay is occasioned solely by the official referee, that's y'all guys, that the statute of limitations won't apply and it will be counted as timely. Okay, but the more important issue is what's right and wrong. My father was old when this happened, and he's very old. The reason, my purpose and my goal in calling you, Lieutenant Gary, is that this get looked into, and whether y'all win or lose, at least try to get something, because there was a clear paper trail. Officer Todd Edwards was speaking with my father for pretty close to 2 hours. I looked at the call to service, and my father said that the guy wrote checks on his account. They were not only fraudulent checks, they were not even checks that were all of his type. They were clearly different than the ones the bank issued. So you had a clear paper trail right there, okay? So the bottom line is this right here. My purpose in calling you today is for y'all to at least initiate an investigation before my father dies. This was $3,000 or so back in 2003, and I went to WestEC and calculated it. And BLS.gov calculates it as $3,865.30 in 2014. In other words, almost $4,000, but because of the pain and suffering and all the balance checks that happened, it was pretty close to $5,000 or $6,000. If someone wrote a $5,000 or $6,000 check on your account, whether you got the money back or not, you'd be a little bit peeved if the cops had a clear paper trail and just said, no, we're not going to do anything. I mean, you would at least have an investigation done. Win, lose, or draw, you'd at least have a report number, right? If it were you. But my father and I are not important. The reason that this has lingered on so long is because here in the recent past, your department was corrupt. And I was fearful for coming down there. I was fearful of getting false arrested because I was false arrested on one occasion in the recent past. And you could look in the records. I could tell you the details. The cops made statements that were not true according to the record. They committed perjury. And the state attorney's office even agreed it was perjury. But there are cops. We're not going to do anything. And they got real bent out of shape. And so I didn't want to get falsely arrested because most of your cops are good.
This case is 11 years old.
I don't care if it's 100 years old. My father is an old man who lost pretty close to $5,000 or $6,000. And in this matter, the paper trail is still there. I know what you're thinking. You think it's an old case. And I know what you're thinking. Okay?
Well,
what,
I'm thinking, why didn't you bring this to
I you? Did. I brought it to your attention on, well, not you, but there was a couple of times. I wished to God that I'd got his name, but I went into your criminal investigations division, and I brought it to the attention of some person in there, and he acted like he was going to do something. He agreed with me it was important. He talked with my father, and then nothing happened. Now, I want to tell you something about my father. If you were polite to him, and you asked him for the routing numbers for the bank, he'll give them to you. But if you, he's not going to contact you, and you're not going to contact him unless you contact him. You're not going to contact him unless you contact him. So what I'm saying is this right here. The routing numbers from the bank are an easy way for you to investigate this because y'all can pull the records and open an investigation. And at which point, then y'all can have a fighting chance to do something. The paper trail is still there. The bank does never destroy those papers. All right? My father is a very old man. He was born in 1935, Sergeant Gary. I'm sorry, Lieutenant Gary.
You're right, Sergeant Gary.
Oh, good. Goodness grief. Okay, they said that you were a lieutenant or something like that. I don't remember. I was my mistake. But the bottom line is this. The bottom line is this right here. Okay? It's not your fault, but two wrongs don't make a right. Bad cops happen. The only thing that's required for bad cops to happen is for good cop supervisors to do nothing. That was the quote that Edmund Burke was looking for when he made that quote. So what I'm saying is this right here. I can give you the my father's contact information. I imagine I could probably get the bank numbers, but since y'all have to interview him anyhow, you would have to get it. It's up to you, whichever way you think is the best, but one thing is not on the table. One option is not on the table is leaving it alone. I can go and talk to my father and get the bank routing numbers. He might give them to me. He's very introverted. He likes to leave things alone. But listen, here's the thing. There's two options. The only two options are on the table. Y'all look at it now when he's alive. Okay? He was born in 35. You do the math, right? I want my father to be able to get some benefit from what he's worked for. If he dies, it'll go into probate, and then everything that's his will become mine, and then I'll have a legal right. I won't be asking you to do this as a favor for my father. I'll be asking you to do this as me being the victim. And then there will be a lot more political pressure on y'all to take a look at it. Even if the fact that it's old is not your fault, but it's the agency's fault. And the agency, okay, look, here's the deal. Maybe nothing could be happened, but there should have been a report, and then we could have found that out. And the Second District Court of Appeal recently found that the state attorney's office, and they're above me, keep in mind, was not required to prove that a crime committed in order to get a subpoena. That was the whole purpose of the subpoena. I can give you the case law for that if you want. And since you and I would both agree that I'm lower and less powerful than the state attorney's office, then I hope that you don't require me to prove that there was a crime committed. That's the whole purpose of the investigation. I can give you probable cause. I'll sign an affidavit and give you my word. I'll give you my father's phone number. He is very introverted. He'll be very resistant, but if you're polite to him, Sergeant Gary, he will admit that, yes, I was ripped off for $3,000 or $4,000 back then, and it was a large amount then. It was even larger now, because back then the money was worth more, you know. There's inflation. And he'll admit that, yes, the cop came out, he outright just stubbornly refused to do anything. We're not important. And I'll give you the number already, so you have what is known as probable cause. You won't get in trouble if you investigate this or open an investigation or whatever it is that y'all do to reopen the call to service and then to open an actual investigation. So you won't get in trouble because you have what is known as probable cause. Okay? Your department has been described as horrible and corrupt. And I'm not trying to set you up for a fall or anything like that. I'm trying to make your job easier. Alright? I'm trying to do everything I can to make your job easy. If you fail, you fail. Alright? But you get paid a lot more than I do. And I'm sure that there's a reason for it. And so y'all guys, if it had happened to you, I don't care if it was 20 years old, if it had happened to you and there was a corrupt cop, but you finally got some good cops, and let's say that you became a cop at that point and you actually had some pull, you'd get that thing looked into if it were you. And so all I ask is that you do the same thing to others what you would want done to you. You know, the golden rule thing. I don't mean to be religious, but that's what it is. The other issue, the records that the phone company sent over in the harassing phone case, which was a 2011 case, also quite old, because I kept getting harassing, we kept getting harassing phone calls, and we kept reporting them to y'all, and y'all kept saying, we won't do anything, but if you get more, we'll do something, and y'all kept not keeping your word. I mean, some of it was lewd and lascivious. Granted, it's nothing nowhere near as bad as this, okay? But the phone records never found their way into the records department. And the phone did traces on that stuff. And even if y'all guys don't want to investigate it, I want to get the data and give it to another police agency. And there are two or three that qualify as far as where it occurred. Or an investigator, or a news agency, or the court. I may go to court myself, or maybe I'll just do a news story on it and embarrass the people so that the harassing phone calls will stop. But those records, that's a much smaller matter, but y'all are the only ones that have the records. On the other case, 11-21204, the harassing phone case, the phone company would not release them to me. They would only release them to you, but under Chapter 119, y'all are supposed to release them to me once the investigation is closed, and y'all closed it. And y'all guys got, they kept faxing y'all stuff, and they kept being lost and misplaced. And then, for example, people in your department would say, well, have them fax it over again, we didn't get it, or they were supposed to put it to the attention of a person's name, not the case number alone. The case number was not sufficient. They said it had to be put to the attention of a person's name. And even in that report, Officer Jason Leggett was the only officer that felt that there was no crime committed. All the other officers felt there was a crime committed, just not big enough to do anything. But even he actually referenced in the report in 11-21204 that the phone company sent records, but he never put them in the record. He got records, but he didn't put them in the records. And so those are, so because of the fact, I apologize, Sergeant Geary, that I'm coming into your department with two or three things and I'm becoming a regular visitor. But it was because your department put the fear of God in me that I would get falsely arrested because they were corrupt. But now that y'all have good officers that are not corrupt, that will actually look into it, I have to, all the stuff stacked up. And now it's backlogged. And so
when did you get arrested?
This was back in 2003. The bottom line is that I saw someone that was suspicious. You can look there. It was my only arrest. I'm Gordon Watts. You can look me up in the system. And the dispatcher did not say to get the heck out of the area. The cops in their affidavit said to get the heck out of the area. Well, they didn't use the word heck. So they committed perjury. And the arrest they did was false based on that. There was a lot of bad blood that ensued after that. I don't want to go into the bad blood, but you can just take my word for it that perjury... Just because you're a cop doesn't mean you can commit perjury, does it? I mean, really.
Well, perjury is perjury.
Yeah, that's right. Well, what I'm saying, listen.
Committed.
Okay. Well, okay, listen. That's an important matter, but even though it's probably a more important matter than these other matters are time-sensitive. I'm going to put the needs of my father ahead of my own needs, and I'm not going to make any complaints at this time about the false arrest. The matter of the records that I'm asking for... There was one report where I came into the station about a month ago, and I gave them some additional harassing phone calls, and I gave them the stuff on a flash drive. So the bottom line is that this public service PSO or whatever they call them, she made a report and it wasn't anything serious. And it took them a month to clear the thing or approve it so it would go into records. I mean, like a month. And they wouldn't have even done it then, but Sergeant Shiver was contacted by someone in CID, and they said, this guy wants the stuff that's in the record, and he approved the one thing that he could approve, or whatever. Something else was in the process. And, I mean, the phone company kept sending y'all records and kept sending y'all records and kept faxing y'all the call traces. The call traces showed the actual number of the person. Now, one of your officers, Detective Jim O'Neill, is intelligent, and he seems to be honest. He put up with me complaining about this, and he didn't hang up on me, although I irritated him. But he said that when they trace to an IP address, that's it, they can't do nothing. And I don't mean this as in any disrespect. When I explained to him that they could do something because the IP address is paid for by someone, all they have to do is find out who it's paid for, they could do something. I mean, if someone called and threatened the president, they used an IP address, voice over internet protocol, you don't think that the Secret Service would be able to track their butt down? So my point is that Officer Jim O'Neill is typical of a good officer that is being pushed down by the department's standards because they were corrupt here in recent times. And I hear that y'all are getting better, and I'm hoping that y'all are. I'm trying to help y'all to get better, not only for the right reasons, but for selfish reasons, so that y'all can help my matters. Okay, but be that as it may, I'm trying to make y'all's job easier. When I make a request, I'm not setting y'all up for a fall or anything like that, to embarrass y'all or anything. So, but just the same, at the end of the day, I want y'all to investigate this. I want you to help me to find out who I have to talk to about this, and I'll give you my suggestions on the best way to approach it, because I know my father better than you do, because he's my father. And I'll give you the case law that will allow you to reopen this old case and not get the book thrown at you by the state attorney's office. Okay, so you know what I'm saying?
This is what I need to do. I need to, you've said a lot.
Yeah, I've made two requests, and both of them are pretty hard. I apologize, big time.
You said Sergeant Shivers looking into case.
But that was back on Tuesday, and he said he needed some time to look into it, and I'm not trying to pressure him or anything. And maybe if I go down to records, the stuff will be there, but every time I go there, it's been like a month since they closed the case. The records from the phone company are not there. Now, Detective O'Neill said he agreed there was a crime committed, but he said neither he nor the state attorney's office were willing to pursue it because no harm was done, and it was, you know, not that big of a deal. And I have to admit that he's got a good point there, even though I would have pursued it. But the point of it is, as he said, he had no problem with me getting all the records from the phone company being sent over so that I can take them to whomever I want. I mean, in the worst case scenario, I would make harassing phone calls to the other party. And I'm not going to do that, but I'm just saying, we don't even know who they are.
Okay,
so my neighbor across the street had harassing phone calls, and they actually put the names, numbers, they put the driver's license numbers, everything but the guy's social security number, everything was in there. And in my case, it was a bunch of harassing phone calls, not one. They didn't put any of that in there, and they didn't pursue it. And so y'all didn't pursue it, and y'all kept me from pursuing it. And the other people across the street, y'all put it in the whole kit and caboodle is in there. If y'all decided to not do anything, I mean, y'all put all that information in there. So Detective O'Neill said that there was no problem with me getting the phone records, but I was just wondering whether it have to be an act of Congress to get them inside the records, because, I mean, I can't.
Sorry,
I have a big 8-cylinder car, Sergeant Gary. You know, it uses gas. I can't be keep coming down to the department all the time saying, hey, is it down there? Or, I mean, I don't want to keep harassing y'all. Hey, is that down there? I want them to be down there sooner or later so I can come to the records and make a Chapter 119 request for the records, you know, public records request. And then either y'all will do something or the state attorneys will do something or I'll go to the news media and say the cops wouldn't do something but here. And then they'll embarrass the people and then they'll back off from the harassing phone calls. Someone's going to do something, but I have to get this is impeding my investigation. Just because I'm not a cop doesn't mean I can't investigate. I can investigate like as a blogger, or I can give it to a big news media place or something. And the denial of the Chapter 119 request is impeding my ability to do a good investigation. You know, you would hate it if someone denied you. So I don't know what's going on there, how much time is needed, but the Verizon phone company just kept sending you all that stuff. I mean, repeatedly. You can look in the record. There's reference to it.
Why don't you do a 119 request now?
No, no, no. Every time I do it, they say, no, that stuff's not in the record. They made reference to it, but it in itself is, there's nothing from Verizon in there. Nothing. The stuff's not in there. That's my point. You see what I'm saying? My point is this right here. If the stuff was in there, I would just go down there and make the request, but it just, they had the stuff, but they never put it into records. See what I'm saying? They just didn't put it into records. I wanted to get into records so that when I make the request that it can be there. The only thing that I think is really important is like all that call trace data that Verizon did, because they would not submit the stuff to me, but they submitted it to y'all. But it's not...
How long ago was this case?
It began in 2011, but some of their traces were just like a month or two ago. I mean, there were some traces that were really old. I told them they were about to delete it out of their system, and I said the local department had been corrupt, but they are now turning themselves around like a big ship, and they're slow. And their two-year limit was about to hit, and I said, don't delete it out of your system. I said, fax over all the stuff that you got to the department, and so they did. And they didn't get it. Then I talked to Sergeant Marshall Lord, and he said that well, we didn't get it, but put it to the attention of someone's name. And I put it to his attention, and the officer name that was Officer Fetz was working it. They finally got it, and then they put it over to Detective O'Neill because they thought that it was financial crimes related. Because I told them that they used spoofing. They called me impersonating others, and then they called other people impersonating me. And I'd get people calling me back, asking why I called them, but I didn't call them. They spoofed my number calling other people. So there was an identity theft going on. Detective O'Neill really was the right person to look at that, if anyone was, because it was identity theft. But be that as it may, what y'all did I think is wrong. But I'm not going to get angry about it. I'm just going to try and get the records and do something constructive. You know, I'm going to take the lemonade and make it into a lemonade. But I don't even have the lemon, because every time I go to records, it's not there. Verizon repeatedly sent y'all the stuff, and this time I think y'all got it. I can show you some of the stuff I have for Verizon, but they won't show the number on my end. They'll show it on your end, because on my end, the person paid their fee. So I don't know what needs to be done. As far as the other thing with my father, even though I'm fearful, I'll be honest with you, Sergeant Geary, I'm fearful that if I bring two complaints to you at the same time, y'all will think I'm a kook and then just ignore them. But here's the thing. Both of them are important. I can't drop either one of them. The harassing phone call matter is something, it's not as near as important as the other stuff, but y'all are the only ones that have those records. This other thing, any police agency in the area can investigate, the sheriff's department can investigate, the state attorneys can investigate it. But my father is real old and is time sensitive, okay? And it's a large amount of money. It was a very egregious wrong.
Well, I would have to call the state attorney's office to see if they would, even if you know who did that,
mm-hmm.
you know, you could say, yeah, Mr. Smith
mm-hmm.
stole my dad's checkbook and you mm-hmm. wrote a pocket check.
Time I asked for the exact same thing. It was the exact same thing, and I didn't, actually, I gave them more time, day, and date information than you. They were talking $2,000. Yeah, and that's back when they had it a full year, and their caller ID and Star 69 were all up and running because they didn't have as much phone calls in the memory. Yeah, so they were given more, they asked more, and they did less.
Right.
Well, actually, they did nothing. But in any case, though, listen, Mr. Paulson, thank you very much. I'll get right on it, and then we can compare notes later. Unless, of course, Bill beats me to it, but I doubt that he will, because I'll get right on it.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, and you have a good one.
Hunting and Research, this is Tom.
Tom, this is Gordon. I sent you an email with the other times you requested, so I just wanted to give you a heads up.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thank you.
See ya.
So this was probably done with a cell phone, so the cell tower records would add clarity to this, but they probably got the actual number, and if they didn't, then if they can't get the actual number, I'll put it this way, even though we don't know for positive, in all likelihood, probably the actual number was able to be gotten. In other words, they didn't just get the fake number, they probably got the real number. Is that right, do you think?
I you know what, with all the spoofing and this magic jack and all these phone calls that are coming in, it is so, like I said, we're getting calls from Nigeria, from Canada, from England.
What do you mean? In other words, the police department?
Well, we're getting calls, not the police department, but victims are getting calls for different things that are showing an 863 area code.